If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 738. It's the 20th of March, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Mark Epstein, CEO of the People's Operator. That's TPOP, ticker, talks through the recent trading update and fundraise. I also have Malky, all in Gas Sector Authority, talking about the following stocks: SDX Energy, Savannah Petroleum, and iGas Energy. I also have financial analyst with Spreadex, Connor Campbell, talking about Fevertree Drinks and Kingfisher. As always, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, or more specifically, this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Epstein, CEO of the People's Operator. And the ticker there is TPOP or TPOP. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so we had you on before, and there's been a lot of excitement about the company. I know Jimmy there appeared at the Momentous events, and probably the most popular sort of guest on that show, because obviously, and I've got to explain, in fact, I'll let you explain, Mark, because for people listening right now who are not aware of the People's Operator, could you explain what you're all about, and also maybe just insert Jimmy's connection there?
Yeah, so the People's Operator, we're a virtual phone network, which means we're a phone network, you know, like some of the major other brands you might have heard, like Virgin or whoever else, which we don't have the big kit and the base stations. We actually plug into other phone networks, but we're operating in the UK and the US. We have our core proposition, which gives 10% of your bill to the calls of your choice. And we're a consumer facing brand, but we do have some B2B things going on. We're a company that has expanded from England into the US. We're growing extremely rapidly. People can buy our products online. So we're a phone network like any other, but we're a virtual network, which means we don't have all the expense of putting in the base stations and all of that stuff. We just lease that from other partners and providers. So yeah, these are very common and have grown in size. I think in the US, some MVNOs, some networks similar to us have grown to over 24 million customers in size. So that's who we are. 10% of your bill goes to the cause of your choice. We are very competitive in price. We have a great brand, and we have some great charities and causes that we've worked with. People on our network have chosen thousands of causes to give their 10% of their bill to. So our slogan really is switch to us, save some money, support a cause that you love.
This viral appeal really is what is it what attracted Jimmy Wales really into the business?
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing. So our concept is really emotive. Really, people get really passionate about it, because look at other phone networks, they're just common utilities, commodities. No one really loves their phone network, but people feel great about TPO because you can just feel good about using a device like a phone. You know, just do what you do every day and feel good, because 10% of your bill will go to a cause you love. And I think Jimmy really liked that idea. He felt that that concept, that underlying emotive proposition, could be something that could go viral, and something that he could really contribute to taking viral with his immense knowledge of how to do that and build online communities, of course, through Wikipedia and the amazing work that he's done there, building it to one of the largest websites in the world. So a few years ago, prior to the float, Jimmy joined us, and he basically took charge of the whole digital side of the company, building out our digital sales platforms, building out online communities, working all the viral growth, working on all the growth and all the factors we need, all the digital tools we need to grow the business virally. And we've invested a lot of money in those tools and on those services. And now the really exciting thing is we're seeing that fruit come back to us in a big, big way. Amazing start to the year this year. Absolutely amazing. The US has taken off pretty much like a rocket with exceptional growth. I think more than anyone could have even predicted. And you know, it's really, really powerful what we've built. We've got this amazing platform. We've got a great proposition. And we've got just some of the most amazing people and causes that we work with in the UK and in the US to spread the word of our product.
Yeah, yeah, and I think also what's important, like you say, you are very, you know, your price compares favourably to other providers. So even with that 10% to charity, it doesn't put you 10% above everyone else. It's, you know, you can be compared, can't you, with other companies?
Correct. And that's because we're very efficient in what we do. We don't have any stores. We don't have bricks and mortar shops that we sell from. We're an online proposition. We're a proposition for the new era. We sell our products online, virally. We have the lowest cost of acquisition, I think. I think I've heard people say we've got the lowest cost of acquisition in the history of telco, I think, maybe. But the point is we've got an incredibly low cost of acquisition. We are super efficient as a network. Everything we do is viral, digital, word of mouth. And because of that, we're able to compete on the price, and we'll be able to offer this amazing 10% back to the causes, which is a very powerful proposition, both for people to join our network, but also to spread the word, and also to stay on our network as well.
Okay, well, let's go into your last bit of news, which is trading update and fundraising. First of all, let's start with the trading update. I understand you're in a closed period. You can't, you know, elaborate on the RNS here, but or you can explain parts of it, I understand. So, first and foremost, you said, as you've previously stated, revenue for the year 2016 to the 12 months, ending 31st December, will be approximately $3.6 million. But you've seen, you've announced a highly encouraging start to the financial year. Revenue in the US has shown a 25.6% growth in the first 2 months of 2017, and new customer signups are continue at consistently high levels. So that figure there, what's that compared to? Is it the previous 2 months or what?
Yes, just literally, I mean, it's an amazing figure. Basically, that is our revenue at the end of February in the US was 25% higher than it was in December 16. So whatever it was in December 16, and it was in the hundreds of thousands then, it was 25.6% higher in February 17. In just 2 months, our total amount of revenue increased 25.6%. It's going up like a rocket. If you compare it year on year, it's hundreds upon hundreds of percent. Annualize that figure, and someone was telling me that means it's 2017, 400% revenue growth. I think there was someone saying that. I mean, it was really amazing growth that we obviously have reported, that we've been seeing in our core market, where we're predicting the most of our revenue to come from the US. The UK doing really good stuff, but that is just an exceptional figure in just 2 months to grow your revenue that big. And bear in mind the revenue is in the hundreds of thousands of the company. So growth we're seeing.
Yeah, and you say it's, and also customer signups continue, like you said, at consistently high levels. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Well, we are, as we reported, you know, in January and February, we were incredibly happy with what we saw. We saw January with Rocket Week, just amazing growth. Really, really pleasing to see. Good across all of our channels, markets. Just very, very pleasing to see in the business this exceptionally high level of growth.
So what do you put this down to in the US? Why is it good doing so well? Do you know? Have you done a marketing campaign out there? What's happening there?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. One, our brand is now a bit more established in trading properties and slots. Really, when we launched on our second network in the US. Two, we have been putting more effort into our marketing. And three, we've just got more customers. So as we get more customers, the viral component compounds itself and becomes even greater. And the quantum increases because that's more people to recommend and tell people about our service. And thirdly, I think to add is that we are doing on the ground now in March. We've got some amazing things going on. We've launched some new products. some new packs that tap into the wave of social responsibility sweeping America and sweeping the US, and we're doing a lot on that. Mm-hmm. So I think when you combine all the factors of having the great proposition, the brand being established in the market for longer, us launching some new products, and we've got some really great deals out there as well, all of these factors come together, I think, to increase the level of awareness we're getting and therefore increase the level of sales. The viral component is really kicking in now. So we're very, very encouraged what we saw. Exceptional growth by any measure, really, by any measure in the last few months. And it's looking hopefully like it's going to continue long into the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, you know, another positive dynamic here was that the fact is, you know, revenue, like you say, is going up, but also your cost is coming down here because you've improved commercial terms. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So we've spent a lot of time in the business, and we are so efficient. We've got some incredible people working at the company. I mean, obviously, Jimmy goes without saying, his track record second to none. But some of the talent of the business that we've been able to attract is amazing. And all of us, you know, from senior down, we've renegotiated every single contract over the past 6 months in this business. Better and improved commercial terms across the board, almost on everywhere you look. And that has lowered our costs in every area. Our underlying costs are down. Therefore, we're getting better, more consistent margins. Therefore, we're also able to offer better products into the market. Now, all elements of the business. I mean, we were sitting the other day, you know, and we're so happy with what we're seeing. The business is in such a good stage. You know, we've had our history. We are where we are now. But really, the last few months, it's really pleasing to see every area of the business re-engineered, been developed from product to commercial contracts to supplier contracts. Every part of the business is in an exceptionally good state now. We feel to push forward.
Okay, let's go to the second part of this RNS, which was the fundraise. Now, you raised 1.58, I think it was. And so what's it going to be used for, Mark?
Very simple. We are going to accelerate our awareness and marketing activities in both the US and the UK. And we're also going to increase and speed up our product development roadmap. There are so many charities and causes that want to work with us. We need to speed up our product roadmap so we can deliver to them the tools they need to sell our product. We have hundreds of charities that want to work with us. We've got hundreds of charities we want to work with. And we've got this long tail, so we're going to really get our products out to them and their supporters and members. And we're also going to speed up things like multi-line accounts. We're going to speed up Spanish language websites. There's so many exciting things we can do in both the US and the UK market. We're going to accelerate our marketing activity, taking advantage of the great uptake in sales we've seen and the growth that we're seeing. Also, we've got these new commercial contracts. We want to take advantage of those terms. We want to lock that in and really go for it now. So that's what that fundraise is going to be used. And it's a small raise, but it enables us to do a few things quicker and more effectively than otherwise we didn't have to do them. And we're very pleased to have concluded that. And obviously prior to, we're in a closed period now, but you know, prior to when we announced our figures to the market, it was very pleasing for the company, I think. A very positive sign to conclude that.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, you can't say too much, but I mean, with your, you know, your revenue here and your improved margins there, is it possible to say what kind of margins you're looking at, targeting?
It's difficult for me to go into, but so when I look at the market, I've really improved recently. You know, every contract really better. They're already pretty good, but getting better. And then they're consistently staying that way. We monitor everything, and every little detail is analysed and looked at. So our margins are really good. We're able to trade and compete with other networks in both markets very, very effectively. You know, we have a great team that go and negotiate deals. I think there's a lot of goodwill towards our company from the market in general. We're such a refreshing proposition. We're such a different type of proposition to just the sort of buy them high, sell them cheap type of things you see, these basic commodities. You know, and other networks, you know, I mentioned a couple, but other phone networks, you know, that, you know, there's only four, really three or four main networks in the UK that own the base stations. The rest are all MVNOs like us. You know, you've got some worth billions. You know, you've got MVNOs with billions and billions and billions. And they're just basic commodity plays. I think when the host networks have seen our proposition, the goodwill out there towards us is immense across all of our partners. We've got good partners in every country, You know, I think they've seen the positive impact we bring to the whole mobile market with a proposition like ours, a cause-based proposition, that 10% goes to a charity or cause that you really care about. And I think they really want to encourage that. They've seen our growth recently as well, which has been exceptional by any measure, I think many people say as well. And it's just very pleasing in the business. Obviously, it's great to get the message out there in the market as well, so people know about that. But we're very, very pleased on every level how it's going. And we've had some great feedback recently. Obviously, Jimmy's done a few events recently. Huge amount of positivity. He was there, questions and answers about any element business. So yeah, we're very, very happy. And I think it's a very exciting year this year.
Yeah.
Real year of growth. Real year on every level, from subscribers to revenue, gross margin. Every item you look at, it's just a year of growing awareness, really making the most of everything we've built thus far.
Marvellous. Okay, and your final results will be out, what, in mid-April, is it? Is that right?
Yeah, mid to the end of April.
Okay.
Mid to the end of April. We've got some amazing stuff going on now. So we've got a lot of promotional activity happening around America. We've got people out there now. We're handing back money to causes. You know, the reaction is amazing when you go and visit a cause, and the donations are handed back, and they tell us all about what they're doing with the money, and the people that support TV, that have been on TV, that support them, have raised. It's really, really good time for us. We've got a lot of great publicity and content and things that's going to be coming out from these consumer programs that are going on in the market at the moment.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's, a massive viral marketing potential. You can see that charities will receive money off you. I can imagine, they'd be more than happy to promote you, wouldn't they? You know, just to help their cause. And also, when you've got a phone that they're offering is comparable with other networks, then of course they're going to champion you, aren't they, really?
Well, why use another network when you can switch to TPO, save some money, and support a cause you care about? You know, everything else we offer is the same. It's the same phone signal that you get. So the choice for the consumer is clear. Stick to a commodity play that is not loved, that you don't really like. Well, join us at TPO, where you'll get a great deal on your phone bill, support the calls you love, and you can feel good about using something like Just Your Mobile.
Marvellous. Mark, we're on the podcast here every day. On the podcast, I'll highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Market. So for someone listening now who like what you're saying and need just a little bit more convincing, can you give us three bullet point reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, for sure. Firstly, we're a phone network that is live in the United States of America and the United Kingdom, two of the best markets in the world. The US, the biggest market in the world. We're live across the US. We have, secondly, an amazing proposition, where 10% of your bill goes to the cause of your choice, yet we still compete on every price point. We still compete brilliantly with all the other networks. And thirdly, we have an amazing digital sales platform built by one of the internet greats, the Wikipedia founder, Jimmy Wales, who works hand in hand with the tech team, leads the company in all areas of viral growth. And you combine those factors, active in the biggest markets in the world, amazing commercial contracts and proposition, and one of the internet greats leading our viral and digital efforts. And I think this is just an amazing business that's grown brilliantly thus far this year and last year. There's so much more to come, and the potential of this business is massive.
Mark, thank you very much for coming on, and look forward to chatting to you again, hopefully in about a month's time, just after your final results. Thanks very much, Mark.
Yeah, really look forward to speaking to you. Good to talk to you today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky, and Malky, I sense that you were feeling a bit similar to me, a bit jaded and tired this morning on a Monday morning.
Yeah, good morning, Justin. Yeah, slightly. I did a charity event last night. I don't normally go out on a Sunday night. I'm normally tucked up early, ready for the podcast, but I'm fit and raring to go, Justin.
Well, that's good. You see, you're benefiting others there with the charity work, and it can be, selfless. And yourself, you're feeling a bit rough, but you don't care because you've benefited others. That's a good sign, Malky, I think. All right, so what are we chatting about today, stocks-wise?
Okay, well, we're primarily in Africa today because I'm talking about SDX Energy and I'm talking about Savannah Petroleum.
Okay.
I will very briefly mention IGAS because I think they deserve a little G-up.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm going to start with SDX Petroleum.
Go for it. What's happening at SDX?
Well, they've announced this morning that they've spudded the South Dusuk well, which is in the Nile Delta in Egypt. The market have been waiting this for a long time. It was slightly delayed, but it's a really exciting potential well, this one. I think the best bet, the best way of looking at it is that, you know, they originally were targeting gas. They're now targeting gas and oil because the seismic showed that there was some very, very exciting oil. So they've spotted that today, and I just don't think the market have got an idea of quite how important, first of all, this well would be, and actually how much value is tucked away in SDX Energy at the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, this well, it would be potential for, you know, I think they're talking about 300 or 400 BCF, 50 to 100 million barrels of oil, if it worked. And if that was the case, then, you know, we're talking, you know, very big bucks for SDX. Mm-hmm. But in the the whole thing, I mean, it's de-risked by the gas, but with massive upside if the oil comes in as well. And what is more, they've got a second location, which is permitted and staked and drill ready, which could easily be bigger than the first one. The only reason they're doing this one first is because they've got, you know, a big chance of finding this gas. Mm-hmm. If they didn't, they were probably going straight for the other oil place. So, you know, that looks really exciting. What is more, as you know, the that neck of the woods is got infrastructure all over. So, you know, if they were to have a discovery, oil or gas or both, it would be developed quickly and cheaply, and you'd see the benefit to SDX pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the other thing is that it's costing SDX almost nothing. The well cost is only $3.7 million, and they've got a $3 million carry, so, you know, they're almost in it for free. Shareholders are getting a well with potentially huge upside, and they're virtually not paying for it. I think that SDX is, it obviously had a really good rally. It did a raise, twice subscribed raise. Which is very good. So they've got cash in the bank. They've got short $20 million of cash. Obviously no debt. They're sitting on forecasts of $30 million of cash flow for this year and $42 million for next year. So pretty much whatever the market throws at it, even if it was to have an oil price fall, because we're talking about, you know, break-even price is just $21 a barrel, I think. So the bottom line is you've got a company making money, cashed up, no debt, really exciting. Well, I mean, all the other bits and pieces from the Circle acquisition come in, but you know, the upside, if this well comes in, is not only huge potential from gas or oil or both. They've got an extension, a 6-month extension, so they've got a chance to look at it. And the upside would be huge. And I think that that my numbers are beginning to get carried away here. But it's more than twice the current share price.
Yeah. Well, I just think at the moment, maybe the old thing, buy on rumor, sell on fact, and they've, like I said, they had a cracking rise this year so far, and near enough doubled, haven't they? So
yeah,
maybe it's just a couple of people taking a bit of profit, and obviously any share price needs a bit of consolidation. I think that's what's happening at the moment. So you could say there's potential here for people to get in here, you know.
Well, that's right, and there was a little bit of a delay on on the well. So now that it's actually spudded, and you know, it's only, you know, 30, I think they said 30 to 45 days. So we're going to find out in the next 2-3 or 4 weeks, you know, sort of what it could be. And as I say, with another one, an oil well to drill right behind it.
Yeah.
And, you know, underlying, everything is good. Revenue, cash, balance sheet, you know, very, very solid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes the market, though, takes a little bit of time to catch up, doesn't it? And you get some dabs coming in there.
It got with all the excitement of the raise and everything else, lots of new shareholders and settling itself down. But, yeah, they've got some good shareholders there, so...
Yeah, so essentially where we are at the moment, even though it's risen quite, you know, aggressively, this is by nowhere near the tops of this ship.
No, I've got it. I mean, yeah, my valuation at the moment, target price is 100p, but I'm thinking that's a little conservative. If this well comes in, that will be significantly upgraded.
Okay, and the share price at the moment is about 45 pence. Cool, yeah. Okay, so Savannah Petroleum, I had Andrew Knott. Thanks very much to yourself there for putting us in contact, getting him on the podcast, and I like Andrew a lot, and he's very into that. He holds a lot of stock himself, he's very into that project, and it seems to me now we are getting to the news-rich period of Savannah Petroleum, isn't it?
I do, taking all my good bits there, but yeah.
Sorry.
No, I mean...
I don't mind you repeating it.
No, it's nice to put you in touch with Andrew because he's, you know, he's very keen, you know, he's a young oil man and he's on the move. And you're right. I mean, the point I was going to say was that they announced this last week that they've got the rig for drilling in Niger for three wells and options for six more. And I mean, the key thing here is, I mean, I've looked at this stock for 3 or 4 years, and I've always thought it was good, but it was a slow burner. But now, as you say, things, you know, this Agadem Rift Basin is very exciting. CNPC are not in there, you know, for the good of their health, and Savannah have been riding along on their coattails extremely successfully. Now, Savannah is extremely well financed. It's got probably the best, the blue chip shareholder base that you could ever see in an A&P stock. Mm-hmm. And these are people who backed Andrew right from the start. So, you know, I think we are talking about a very exciting period for Savannah. It's going to take a little while, but you know, you only have to look at the pictures, look at the seismic. They just completed another seismic on the R3 license, actually, which they'll get a look at soon. But, you know, the potential here is absolutely huge. And I don't think, you know, there are too many worries about pipelines and so on, because obviously that's a problem of success. The drilling program is now scheduled to start within in the first half of this year, so maybe three months to go. As I say, but the numbers here are very substantial. If they would have success on this one, I think that, you know, we'd be absolutely home and hosed on the share price. As I say, there'd be a lot of preparation for all this, and to be honest, it's, you know, I don't think that Andrew in due course will be limited to being in Niger. I mean, he's correctly concentrated his firepower on this. And his shareholders have backed him and so on, and he's done several raises to keep him well financed. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him moving elsewhere in Africa to add something to the portfolio. And so at the moment, I think that a bit like SDX, the market is probably, you know, they probably just looked at Savannah and thought, you know, it's gone a bit quiet. It is a slow burner, but whatever. Right now, I think with this announcement, I think things are about to happen, and I expect to hear a lot more from Andrew Knott over the next over the coming months.
Yeah, well, do you know what? When he was on there, well, 2 points you're saying that, you know, CNPC's had a cracking sort of chance of success here. The percentages, like 75% chance of success they've had here, or they've hit expiration, haven't they? And also, he did say, or he sort of maybe alluded to, there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be more news coming out. And a lot of people, whether it's me or whether someone tweeted, said it's about corporate thing. And so I think we are going to see more news here, not just related to drilling, but corporate side of it.
Because I
think, I think he's, because like I said, he's already got, you know, like I said, a strong shareholder register, and seems to be well connected there. But I think we'll hear sort of all different kinds of news coming out, because they seem to be upping their PR campaign a little bit, and for all the right reasons, I think. So watch this space, SABP. Yeah. And okay, what's the third one, Marky?
I just wanted to do, literally 30 seconds. IGAS announced last week that it had completed its refinancing. It's got an equity raise with Kerrigan, who, if you remember, were the people, you know, they're very, very strong backers in the oil business, and they backed Hurricane this time last year. So they've actually got themselves sorted out. It's been a rough old time for IGAS with this is the, you know, back to onshore UK. They've got a good portfolio there. They've struggled in the last year or so financially, but now they've refinanced. They've got an equity financing. They've refinanced the bonds. They're in a strong position. You know, it's just one that your podcast listeners may want to just put into the on the watch list and on the radar. If it is all going to work, and if you believe anything in terms of onshore, they'll be starting to get some wells drilled this year. It would have a lot of upside from here if it all started to work. Just wanted to point out, really, after that refinancing last week.
Yeah. And just one final word, just quickly mention before I hit record on the old Angus Energy. I don't know if you saw the Times today, but they produced a little article which was based off a BBC reporter and the protesters down there at Brockham. And yeah. They're saying that the Surrey Council are a bit disappointed that they weren't approached about this new planning permission requirement for their sidetrack well. But Angus said they've done a little reply on their website saying they don't need it. They've had planning permission for the surface element, which hasn't changed. And the sidetrack well, which is obviously subsurface, they got permission from the Oil and Gas Authority, also Health and Safety Executive, and the Environment Agency. And they said the government's guidelines make it absolutely clear that the remit of local councils covers the surface impact of the operations, including matters such as noise, visual impact, and traffic movements. So it seems to me like, you know, this tier price is taking a heck of a knock based off rumours and protesters and a local BBC reporter. When you've met the guys from Angus. I mean, they know what they're doing, don't they?
Yeah, I met them a few weeks ago and I was actually very impressed. And one of the guys came up into the city and he was wearing his, you know, he'd come straight off the rig. He apologised. I said, "Don't apologise, mate. You know, you're doing all the right things around." I was impressed with them. And I like you, I feel that this has probably been completely overdone.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous, Malky. Have a nice Monday and maybe you'll have an afternoon. Would you ever partake in an afternoon nap?
You never know.
It may be done. Okay, cheers, fellas. Speak next week.
Cheers. Thank you very much indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is financial analyst at Spreadex. It's Connor Campbell. You all right, Connor?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Just chatting about the weekend and the difference between a person who doesn't have kids and a person who does have kids. Hugely, you know, the times I could say, oh, I chilled, had a lazy weekend, got up about 11 o'clock. I've never seen that time. You know, normally that time now, like sort of 4, 5, 6 hours by that time. So, enjoy it. If you ever plan to have kids, you know, enjoy the moments you have right now, because that's long gone in my history. But there we are. All right, so what are we looking at, Connor?
Well, Fevertree. Fevertree's one of, you know, small the stock, but one of the most eye-catching companies reporting this week. If you look at its chart for last year and heading into this year, it's sort of the thing investors' dreams are made of, really.
Yeah.
It's seen an astonishing rise across 2016, you know, largely off the back of gin, basically. You know, gin is very popular now once again. As early as last week, it was re-added to the basket of goods used by the ONS to judge inflation. Now, I think partially driven by a younger demographic now, gin isn't this older drink anymore. It's something, you know, I drink it, a lot of my friends would drink it. It's very popular in Fevertree. You know, I think most of Fevertree's portfolio is made up of tonic waters. So Fevertree's sort of ridden the back of gin's re-emergence as a very popular drink and, you know, sort of produced wonders really on the market. It reports its full year figures tomorrow. I think in January it's already basically updated on what it expects, and the figures are pretty astonishing. I think it's looking at a 73% rise in full year revenue to 102.2 million, and that's with a 118% rise in UK sales, which is huge. Yeah. I think analysts are now expecting a 12% increase in pre-tax profit to around 36.5 million. Obviously, any beat on that is going to send it even higher. But I think basically all Fevertree needs to do now is deliver on those figures, and investors should be happy tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it is trendy now, isn't it? So you've always had parents hitting the gin, I think, just to escape from their kids. Another younger generation into it. Very popular, isn't it, gin and all that? So, yeah, look at that chart there. I'm just looking at back at from September last year, even. and it's not even touched the 200-day moving average. It's just bounced off 50-day. It's touched the 125 moving average a couple of times, but it's just climbed higher and higher. It's going.
Yeah, considering for a small British stock, Brexit, you know, I think it maybe fell about on 4%, 5%, 6% around, you know, the immediate aftermath of Brexit. But since then, long gone, hasn't paid any attention to it whatsoever.
No, what are you opened at around? I think £1.70, and now it's £14.20 or £14.72. That is a cracking rise, isn't it? Wow. Yeah. I wonder how many people have held in there that long before selling and thinking this can't keep going up, and yet it has. Excellent. Any other companies reporting this week, Connor?
Kingfisher. Kingfisher is maybe the bit out of the first half of the week. Kingfisher is maybe the biggest company. Yeah. You know, it owns B&Q and Screwfix over here, and then a few other companies around Europe. Mixed performance, really. It was sort of, it hit, I think, 27-month highs back in October after having hit 18-month lows in the aftermath of Brexit. It saw a recovery quite quickly. Since October, however, I think alongside Sterling's slump, Kingfisher's basically fallen in tandem, really, and was hitting, I think, a 7-month low by the end of February, lost basically all of the gains it had made last summer. Since then, though, it's seen a decent recovery in the last couple of weeks, basically a large part in news that I think analysts are looking at Kingfisher and thinking it might be able to take some of Homebase's market share. You know, Homebase is now being rebranded as, I think, Bunnings, since being bought by that Australian company. And I think analysts have looked at Homebase, look at how intense the overhaul is and how long it might take Homebase to, you know, be where it once was. That provides an opportunity for Kingfisher and, you know, especially, I guess, B&Q to nab a bit of Homebase's market share. So that seems to have been what's lifted it in the last fortnight or so. Because I think Homebase opened its first rebranded store in St Albans maybe last week. And analysts took a look at its removal from the kitchen sector and how intense this overhaul has been and thought this is an opportunity for Kingfisher. Kingfisher's figures have actually been pretty decent. Its third quarter figures in November, I think overall group like-for-like sales were up 1.8%. In the UK, they're up, I think, approaching 6%. That was mainly due to Screwfix. In the UK, Screwfix saw a 12.7% rise in like-for-like sales. Considering that's, you know, covers a post-Brexit period, that's very healthy. In Poland, I think it saw maybe a 6.8% rise in like-for-like sales. The only disappointment was France, where it owns, I think it's Brico Depot and maybe Castorama, I think, are the two brands it has in France. In France, like-for-like sales fell 3.6%, so that put a bit of a dampener on an otherwise decent third quarter report. I think heading into Wednesday's full-year figures, investors will basically want to see similar like-for-like performance across the fourth quarter, an improvement in France, and I think especially Kingfisher's in the midst of its major restructuring push. Basically, it's One Kingfisher, which is the name of the plan, and updates on it have been fairly generic, you know, positive but light on detail. I think considering this is its full year update, investors will want something a bit more substantial. The plan's a 5-year plan. It's only in the first year of that of that period, so there's still a long way to go. But and the plan, I think, is expected to deliver £500 million extra in pre-tax profit by the end of that 5-year period, which is a significant increase. So investors will just want to know that that's on track, things are going well. That and perhaps maybe update on Brexit. So in the third quarter, the company didn't really mention any impact of Brexit, but it is the kind of thing that could have an impact on the DIY sector and people maybe putting off extensions and conservatories and things like that just due to the slight uncertainty in the housing market at the moment. So those are, I think, the key things to watch out for on Wednesday with Kingfisher's update, really.
Yeah, well, France, always a disappointment on many levels. but do you know what? I find myself going to Screwfix more now. I literally used to be B&Q, but now Screwfix is the place.
Well, I'm trying to work out, what is the actual difference between Screwfix and B&Q?
Screwfix is like the Argos of the B&Q, you know? So and it's mainly for trade. And my father-in-law's a builder, so, you know, he comes and does work. We use his account. We just pop in there, you just order it from the catalogue there, and it comes through like Argos, you know? It does.
And, okay. That's like we were talking about last week. odd thing for it to continue to be successful.
Yeah, so it's less, I assume, less staff, you know, but they've got all the stuff there, you know, so it's obviously more profitable in some ways. But look at the chart there. It's literally, it's almost a bit of a trader's paradise, that. It's a trading range there from 380 at the top to 320 at the bottom. You're saying almost buy at 320, sell at 380, you know, but maybe it will, like you said, with the new restructuring going on, maybe it'll push beyond those levels now. We'll wait and see, but excellent stuff, Connor. And I guess you don't do a lot of DIY, do you? Being a are you single or are you married?
No, I've got a girlfriend, like long-term girlfriend, but we live in a tiny little flat in West Hampstead, so there's not much we can do on the DIY front, really.
Yeah, keep it simple. That's the way. As a husband with two children, I'd say keep it simple. That's the way forward. Connor, thanks for that, fella, and look forward to speaking next week. Thanks very much.
I'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much.
Okay, it's time for top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. By the way, I've got a couple of entries in for one for your watch list. I will be doing the next few days, but I do go through them and check the financials are okay. But listen, anything you hear in this podcast is not intended as investment advice. There may be some mistakes in those. I don't know. So please do your own research on any company you hear, okay? All right, top five most followed companies. At five, EVRH Holdings. That's EVRH, or EVR Holdings, should I say, in the virtual reality space, and released a cracking RNS today. At four, there again, 88 Energy. That's 88E. At three, it's up 80% today, 80. That's INFT, Infinity Energy. At two, always there, always in the top five. And Colin's been on the podcast many times. In fact, from the start, Colin was on. At Scent Resources, AST. And number one, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. I wrote a blog about them on the weekend. I think you should very much do some research on this company. Very interesting future with prospects in graphene. And if you look at the properties of graphene, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I'll give you an example. It's the thinnest element ever recorded, one atom thick. It's the strongest material ever, 200 to 300 times stronger than the strongest steel. It's the most conductive of materials, even beating copper, and it's also impermeable. And Vesarion are one of the only companies at the moment. And like I said, because of these properties, it can change so many different aspects of so many different industries. And Vesarion are one of the only companies that can now produce this almost on a scalable level, commercial scalable level, because that's been the issue for a long time. And they've got owners and shareholders in Cambridge University and Manchester University. Manchester University is the home of modern day graphene, so you couldn't get better, more well connected bedfellows than that. So that's Vesarion. Please do your own research and read the blog. You can see my blog post at the end of any blog. You can see all the companies I've written about and Vesarion there. Just click through and read that. It's a basic overview of them, but I think genuinely, you know, do some research, put them on your watch list if I were you. If you like what you read or hear. And by all means, go to their page on Vox Markets. It's VRS, a ticker, and you'll see a lot of stuff for their content. Posted up there, and everything from presentations and also RNSs and all that. So do your research. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning were at five, Immu Pharma, IMM, Holdings and Company, if I remember rightly. LNG, I think, Legal & General, gone above 3% there of the company. At four, Boss Global Holdings. Boss, sticker, agreement to acquire 40% interest in business. At three, Macango. It's MKA. Macango announces R&D program with Metalysis. Metalysis. I can't pronounce that. At two, SDX Energy. That's SDX ticker. Malky was talking about them early on. Commencement of drilling operations. And number one, by far away, the most liked RNS on Vox Markets today was from EVR Holdings, EVRH ticker, of course, agreement with Universal Music Group. And like I said, there's a Warner, now Universal, two of the, I think there's only three or four big labels, aren't there? So they've done 50% of that market there now. It just shows to me that these big labels, you know, with massive artists, are taking VR seriously. And when I had Anthony on the podcast, hopefully on later on this week, hopefully, again, when I chatted to him, he said they will be able to do sort of VR live content from concerts. And if they just sign a couple of these, or manage to get this kind of VR content from a couple of these big artists like Bieber or Ed Sheeran, who are on these labels, you know, people will pay for that. You know, teenagers will pay for that hand over fist. You know, even if it's $5 a pop to go backstage VR during a concert. It makes it, you know, at the moment, you know, what you have is with concerts, the capacity is limited by the size of the ground or the concert. They, you know, and some people can't get there because in different parts of the world can't afford to go there. Now you get VR, and that, you know, audience, the potential size of that audience is almost, it's not limitless, but, you know, it's multitudinous, multifold of what it will be just in the stadium. So you can have people around the world watching live, backstage access, you know, and all that kind of stuff, of a really hot artist. So you can see the potential here. And people say, you know, you can't, it's overvalued at the moment. But no, how do you put a value on a company like this? It's not been done before. And like I said, the buddies with Facebook and Oculus, you know, the company that Facebook bought, the VR headwear gear, bought them for $2 billion, and they weren't as well connected as EVRH at the moment. So you don't know where this company is going, you know, and VR is in its infancy. Anyway, that's enough blathering on from me. You can probably tell I hold a bit of shares in the company, and I quite like the prospects here. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. As I say, anything that you hear in the podcast is just information. It is not investment advice. Please do your own research. Thanks very much for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.